Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, "He won't call me to account"? But you, O God, do see trouble and grief. You consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness that would not be found out. Psalm 10, verses 13 through 15. And from Psalm 5, you are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you the wicked cannot swell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men, the Lord abhors. You have seen it, for you observe it with care, mischief and spite, to requite, to repay, reward it with your hand. This should be a terror to the wicked, to think that whatsoever they do it in the sight of him that shall judge them, and call them to strict account for every thought conceived against his majesty. And therefore it should make them afraid to sin, because that when they burn with lust and toil with hatred, when they scorn the just and wrong the innocent, they do all this within the compass of God's sight, but also in the bosom of that deity who, though he suffered them for a time to run like a wild ass in the wilderness, yet he will find them out at the last, and then cut them off and destroy them. And this is terror unto the wicked, and so it may comfort unto the godly to think that he who should hear their prayers and send them help is so near unto them, and it should move them to rely still upon him, because we are sure of his presence wherever we are. From G. Williams, written in 1636. He who disbelieves hell distrusts heaven. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Good morning and welcome to Through Their Message. My name is Rhonda, and I come to you from Foundations Bible Church in Winnebago, Minnesota. These are troubling times we are living in. Men and women who have gained great power and great wealth have boldly stepped out of the shadows, and without care have descended upon a population that has been distracted by virus, by loss of employment, by scandals, and by routines, the routines of their days being turned upside down. And with such constant changing of the landscape, they find neither breath nor strength to look beyond the moment. And so with a seemingly clear path ahead of those filled with pride and greed, and a well-laid-out plan for destruction, they have claimed their power. And we find that just as the Lord gave Israel over to the kings that would lead the people away from God, for in times he gave the people what their hearts wanted and their itchy ears longed to hear, so has the hand of the Lord been lifted from this once blessed nation. It's not political parties that we look at in these days, but of men and women whose hearts have no room for God, and they can no longer hide their contempt, nor do they care if it is made known. I recently read Psalm 10, and in it I found myself crying for this nation, for her people. And I was thinking as I read it that this could have been written yesterday, as the questions asked and the assessments made about people has not changed one bit since the days of old. Darkness and hardness, the denial of God and the outright rebellion against him, no concern of being found out or exposed for what is now being done. And consequences hold no weight with them. Listen. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak, who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy, and he reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. He is haughty, and your laws are far from him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, "Nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble." His mouth is full of curses and lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent, watching in secret for his victims. He lies in wait like a lion in cover. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse. They fall under his strength. And he says to himself, God has forgotten. And he covers his face and never sees. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hands, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, He won't call me to account, but you, O God, do see trouble and grief, and you consider it to take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evil man. Call him to account for his wickedness that would not be found out. Psalm 10, 1-17. Now what greater comfort is there than this, that there is one presided in the world who is so wise he cannot be mistaken, so faithful he cannot deceive, so pitiful he cannot neglect his people, and so powerful that he can make stones even to be turned into bread if he pleased. God does not govern the world only by his will as an absolute monarch, but by his wisdom and goodness as a tender father. It is not his greatest pleasure to show his sovereign power or his inconceivable wisdom, but his immense goodness, to which he makes the other attributes subservient. Stephen Charnock. We are to live with others, not over them. We are to be to them as we would want others to be to us, again, not lording that over them. We are to give of ourselves and not to take everything we can get our hands on. And as Jesus set the example, we are to sacrifice for others, not demand that they sacrifice themselves to satisfy us. We are to be the salt and the light, a picture of Christ before them. The wicked man is so wrapped up in his own power, his greed and his pride. His eyes are so clouded with judgment, his heart so darkened and hard that barely a breath indicating any sign of life can be detected. These days, by the evidence they have left in their wake and by the following of their trail of destruction, it has been made clear the intent of their actions. Death to all. The divide between darkness and light, between death and life, between good and evil, has never been more transparent. Gender identity propaganda hidden in children's songs and teachings. Pastors are straying from the Word of God and apologizing for preaching God's truth. They say what God created cannot sustain God's plans for it. And they do not credit Him with creation. They only seek to steal and destroy what He has created. They have lusts and pleasures hidden from the world, but exposed by God. They continue to build altars to which the unborn are sacrificed. There are those men and women whose mission it is to destroy the lives of the innocent by the laws that they write. And they lie and deceive the people by saying that they will do one thing and then doing another. Darkness has descended upon the land, but night has not yet settled. These are the days that we are in, where family member is pitted against family member and neighbor against neighbor. In these days, we have no moral and common ground to stand on, and it is where one judges another, but they themselves cannot see the error of their own ways. Isaiah 3, verses 10 and 11, tell the righteous it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds, and woe to the wicked, disaster is upon them. They will be paid back for what their hands have done. It's called righteous justice. It is not by the laws of man that they will be judged, but by the laws of God and his commands and decrees. And there will be no appeal on judgment day, because with God, he already knows the intent of your heart. He has set before you throughout your life a way out of where you are headed. And if you do not heed his warning, accept his gift of salvation. In time, he will turn you over to that which you are seeking, and then it's all upon you. But there is a way out of this trouble. It is the desire, the wanting to, the acknowledgement of the need to be humble before God. And how does one do this? By prayer, by seeking God, by bowing before him. And for a man who has great pride, wealth, and power, the idea of submitting to someone else can't find a path across his mind to allow him to do that. Everyone, everything he knows is beneath him. Jesus came to this world so that none should perish. And yet there are those who will go to the grave believing only in themselves. Many will claim to be good people because in their own eyes they are doing what is good, and they cannot see, nor do they care to hear otherwise. And this leaves them then as enemies of God, enemies for eternity, forever with hardened hearts and darkened thoughts, bitter attitudes, and false hope. The Lord is King forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You hear, O Lord, the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, in order that man who is of the earth may terrify no more. Psalm 10 and 18. Pray for the enemies of God and of men, that they too may come into his saving grace. It is Jesus who saves, for he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He alone is our hope.